He played for me before with Ajax, so he can do it.
Did you watch the game?
You've got that nailed, by the way.
Yeah,
you've got that nailed.
It's the sketch.
As we 14, 14,
hey, 14,
14.
You end up in championship. Listen to this.
A 14 HQ original. New episodes available every Monday on wherever you stream your podcasts, as well as exclusive content throughout the week.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Bench Podcast, man. Another day, another dollar.
Why is he so happy, bro?
You seem so happy.
Because I said we were going to come to the Emirates, leave with Sutton, and go home. I can't lie, I'm happy about it. But before we get into the game, let's introduce the panel. Let's introduce the crew today. The lineup, strong lineup, like I said, which I've been saying on the Bench Podcast for the last few weeks.
Rotation
for the near shot. Do you know what I mean? Squad depth. That's what I like. That's what we like to do. Guys, welcome back, my bro. He's been in the world of
BFI
and film. He's been busy. If you haven't seen him, then where have you been, baby?
Talking to all the superstars, them.
Yeah, man.
All the Washingtons and that.
Yeah, the Washington family, taking pictures with the Washingtons and that.
That was hard.
Busy period, but yeah, you know, football's my thing as well, so it's good to be in there with the lads, man.
Because we love the game. Jakey Charles,
yeah, bro,
we're getting a front three going, bro.
Front three.
Come on, man.
How you man been? What you said?
Yeah, I've been all right, man.
Good, man.
I've been all right.
Good, man. I love that. Well, guys, there's been so many games this weekend. Obviously, I know it's a big one outside of the Prem, which we don't really talk about, but El Clasico.
Yeah, I can't lie. When that one comes around,
stops the football world. But let's start at the Emirates, man. Arsenal 2, Liverpool 2.
Desmond
2-2. We were talking about this on the radio earlier.
Yeah.
And we did say earlier in the week that I was saying to you yesterday, like, if we leave with something, I'll be happy. I'm happy, bro. I can't lie. Lads.
Are you happy? I'm happy. Yeah,
I can't lie. Do you know why? Because I feel like obviously there's been a big lead up to this run that we're about to go on, and we're in the woods now. We've gone to Chelsea, passed that one. Gone to Leipzig, passed that one. We're going to the Emirates away. That one's gonna be a tricky one.
Do you think you passed?
I think we got like a C in it.
You know what?
That's C minus.
A C is fair.
Because I think we played well in parts, but I also think there was times where we were getting pammed and we were getting dominated. And I think that's why I go, okay, cool. We went down twice and then we came back twice. So that shows a bit of character. And then we saw the game out and we leave with a point with one of
Leipzig's
our...
a tough one as well, you know.
Leipzig, how well
they're doing in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, for real.
And you was away, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you've done well there. If you date it back to the United game, which I think was like, it was a bit outside of this run, but still like leading into it.
Yeah.
Mm. Guy into Old Trafford, no matter what you say about what you think about United as they stand now, it's always going to be like a big game, man. It's a huge game, isn't it? So, and as we saw last season, anything can happen in those games.
So I think,
to be fair to you guys, with what slot has come in to do with he had the luxury of having like a solid foundation. Like the craziest solid foundation in terms of the players that you guys have got.
Facts.
I think he's done well, man. And I think going to Arsenal is a good result in the fact of you was down twice.
I mean, that's one of the big pluses. We went down twice, the context of the game, and we didn't.
But I think Arsenal can also be absolutely delighted with the fact that they've basically got a depleted squad.
There's a lot of injuries,
suspensions, and so on and so forth. It's a good result for both teams.
Yeah.
With the context, but if you isolate the context, then you might say, "Oh, Liverpool maybe should have been going there to win because Arsenal depleted." But then Arsenal can say, "Well, you know, you could say Arsenal at home."
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, they've always got the home advantage, so it just depends on perspective.
Yeah, exactly. My perspective is great point.
Good point. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think you're wrong.
Where's the rough of me?
Run away with that, bro. I think. Personally, I think Liverpool might be a little bit more disappointed of the two with the result. I don't think either team are all the way satisfied with it when you take City into account. You know, we're all chasing after City at the end of it. So if we're tripping over each other, it's not really ideal for either of us. But I do think that Liverpool should be a little bit more disappointed at the result. I think when you add the context to it with Arsenal, we finished the game with none of our first team back four.
Yeah, true.
Obviously, we didn't have our captain in. So was suspended.
Is Ben White now considered your second choice?
I think with Timber coming into the squad,
he's a second choice centre back.
So he's now second choice right back slash centre half. That's crazy to think. You know?
fair enough.
Well, you don't
and like, I love, I, no, to be, like, I do love Ben White, and for the last two seasons, like, what he's done for us has been amazing. But Timber's changing my life, bro. I can't lie.
Timber's a good player. But
Timber's changing solid, my life. Yeah.
I think going forward, I think he's a better technical footballer. And I think, like, one on one, even though Ben White is not really like terrible one on one, like, Ben White can handle himself, but I feel like Timber's a little bit more of an athlete, a little bit more adept at handling one-on-ones. And I think for the most part, he kept Salah quiet until he went off, and then we bring the 17-year-old in, and then all of a sudden, a forward ball, Salah makes a little inside run, and he's there on his own to finish it off and even up the game. So with Arsenal, you know, we've been going through it. We ain't got our first team back four.
We're all going through it, man.
Don't do that.
You just the Libra going and Odegaard going today. Your Gabriel, team is pretty strong.
Gabriel went off injured in the game. Timber went off injured in the game. I'll give you that. We finished the game.
You had all them man on the pitch.
We finished the game. Yeah, no, but when we were two one up, them lot came off. Like it weren't 2-2 and them lot come off. It was 2-1 to us, and then it was 2-1, and then they came off.
Yeah,
and then we finished the game with Partey, Ben White, Kivior, and Miles Lewis Skelly as our back four.
That's crazy. I'm saying,
no, that in a million years, that's never our back four. And then 5 minutes after Timber come off and Skelly come back on, 5 minutes after that is when you score and even it up.
Yeah, no, it played into our favour, but I think it played into our favour, of course. It always was going to, because you guys don't have your strongest 11. And obviously, Gabriel going off as well. It does affect the momentum of the game. But that's why I feel like you guys, I don't feel too disappointed in the fact that we're going away with a point, because we went down twice. And still, despite you guys not having the strongest team, you're still a really well-coached team. And your shape and the way you approached the second half from the start was more like, okay, cool, now we're going to protect what we have. And your shape was still really solid. We were doing the horse show team, the horse shooting, going around, playing it around, because your shape was still so good. So
I just think that I just think that even then, with time left, that was on 80 minutes that Salah scored. So if you add the 7 minutes, another 17 minutes.
His big game record is ridiculous.
Yeah,
man.
For real. I felt like for us, we was there for the taking. So I feel like Liverpool could have gone on and got one more.
But I feel like after we scored the goal, I think that the game became a little bit more open, if anything. I feel like when you guys brought on Jesus in particular, I thought, okay, cool, Jesus scores against us a lot. He's a threat. And he nearly scored at the end as well.
He scores goals, does he? I didn't realize.
He scores against us. He's got 6 goals.
I didn't realize he was capable, to be fair.
He's got a good record against us, bro.
He don't score goals.
He scores against us.
He's not even a striker, bro. He's not even a striker.
When was the last time he scored against you guys?
Maybe I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, but he scores goals against us. So
I don't even though that. Putting on an for attack, City, maybe,
but putting on an attacking player, it doesn't suggest to me that you're looking to wrap up.
That's the second time that Arteta has done that in a row, where like he's kind of gone for it.
Yeah,
when I would deem the situation a bit too late. We went 2-0 down against Bournemouth when he was like, "All right, cool, we'll put on Jesus and on Wanyeri." Obviously, situation there was a little bit different. We went down to 10 men, like we took Saka off, like it was all a bit of a, none of that was City, but we went down to 10 men. We took Sterling off.
Yeah,
it was all a bit of a madness.
Sterling today, by the way, actually, let me look at that.
He didn't play. Didn't come on.
Was he in the squad?
I think he was on the bench, but he didn't come on.
Damn.
We got to have words.
But then, in this situation, obviously, like we started off the first half like pretty well. We were 2-1 up.
Yeah.
I think we were in control of the game, and I think we kind of surrendered control a little bit as the second half came, Liverpool kind of grew into the game a bit more.
Yeah.
But then we had the injuries as well. Like we had our
It definitely changes momentum.
Like
in the game,
you know what I mean?
Honestly,
like not only the momentum, but like the mindset of it. Like we now don't have Saliba or Gabriel at the back.
When Kivior came on, I could almost feel it through the TV, the stadium going, "Whoa,
bro!" Like I seen it straight away. Yeah,
you know, so, I went, "Oh yes."
So I see it, bro. I seen it straight away.
That's
because Gabriel went down like early in the first half.
I thought he was doing dark arts from early. I thought, he started already, bro.
I think Nunes hit him in the back of the knee or something like that. So he come off the pitch. Shut up, guys. So he went off the pitch, and like momentarily for like a minute we were down to 10 men. You just see us all retreat 10, 15 yards like that.
Yeah.
He came back on and he tried to get back into the game. 2 minutes later, he's back off.
Yeah.
True. So now we don't have no Saliba, no Gabriel.
Yeah. That played into our favour 100%.
The mindset, I think, obviously, with the injuries aid into that, like it just didn't Yeah, it just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is why I
didn't keep us on top of the game, man.
Yeah, 100%, man. Well, this is why I feel like I'm happy to leave with a point, because I think coming from a losing position, we easily could have gone on to lose that game. And I guess like you said, the subs coming off and injuries definitely played into our favour. But if you would have told me, and like we said before, if you would have told me at the start of the game I'm leaving with a 2-2, I would have been all right, cool, I'll take it. Do you know what I mean? Because Arsenal are a great team at home, so I'll take it. But we have to, let's go through the goals though, because first and foremost we have to talk about Bukayo Saka. I think today Bukayo Saka announced that, okay, all right,
he's different.
Wait, today he announced today. No. I think today, hear me out. I think today was the time where listen, hear me out. Let me learn.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I feel like obviously there's always been the question marks here, today felt different. It felt like he was coming back into the team, and all the murmurs before the game was, is Saka going to play? He came. He blitzed Robbo in the first minute and then done this to the crowd and said, look, bruv, I'm here. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think this was almost a coming-of-age performance in a sense where it's like, look, you've all doubted me. You all wanted me to be here today. And in the first 10 minutes of the game, I impacted like this. And to be honest, he had Robbo on skates for the first half completely. So I think, obviously, we know he's the guy. We know how great he is.
That's what I'm saying. Is anyone surprised?
I was just impressed at the way he just came in. Like, it didn't faze him that he was.
You know what's so impressive?
That's
with
what
him.
I was impressed about.
What's so impressive with him is like every stage of his Arsenal career so far, he's proved himself. So like he comes into the team as like a young boy, plays left back initially.
Yeah.
Passes the test. Moves on to right wing. Passes the test.
Yeah.
Consistency in the Premier League. Passes the test. Big games. Passes the test. Champions League. England. Passes the test.
Yeah, yeah.
We slapped the armband on him now.
He's getting A's and A pluses and
bare homework.
Yeah, yeah, he's cold, man. Yeah.
Bare essays.
That's why I feel like
bare dissertations.
Today I was like, raw. Okay. He came back and was like, yeah, whatever, man. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't just, bruv, I'm back. Calm, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I am the guy in this.
There's nothing you can really throw his direction where you can say, like, there's a question mark on his game. And then you add to the, like, the technical ability that he has. But he's still like, you know, sometimes you say a footballer needs to have like
something, like he's like missing something.
Like a bravado, or like he needs to have that aura of confidence. Mm. Saka does it in like his own way, where he doesn't necessarily like, I'm him. He just plays like he's him.
Yeah.
But doesn't necessarily.
He's so confident in himself, isn't it?
Like a quiet self confidence, which I find like really impressive, which I think also speaks to just his character. Like if you look at him, you know he's a good kid. People say, oh, Saka church boy, where's my son? Blah, blah, blah.
He walks with God, man.
He does.
Yeah. But like, there's also, when he's on the pitch, he's dark.
Yeah.
It's demon time.
I think that's maybe what I'm alluding to. I think that's why I got a bit of attitude from him today, because when he was doing this to the celebration as well, it's like, man, them are talking. It's like, nah, bro, do you think
them lot, because obviously they're all in the same camps, like England, like, do you think they, like, them have conversations about when they're like Saka, Foden and Palmer and da-da-da?
I think they're hear the noise, man. They must
there's no way they don't. I'm just really intrigued to know, because I'm going to assume they all would get along to some degree, not saying all besties, but like what that competitive environment's like between like the three young boys. Foden's 24 now, so young quotation marks. Saka, Foden, Palmer, like the comparisons. Because like, I'm a Phil Foden fan. I think Phil Foden's quality. But
out of the three?
No, just generally speaking.
Okay.
But I think like one thing that's missing in his game, and I know this is not about Phil Foden, it's about Arsenal and Saka, but like in comparison to Saka, I think like there's a give me the ball about Saka.
Today was a day where it was like, look,
Okay.
He put hairs on his chest today. I've got to lie. I respect
Which him. I really respect. So, he's an impressive young player. And I think there's still more to his... Like, I think if Saka said today, fuck it, for the next half of the season, I want to be someone that gets in behind and plays like the more Mo Salah role. Mm. Gets in behind, scores goals, less creative, less involved in build-up, but just get me in behind. He could probably end up scoring like 15 to 20 goals.
Unfortunately,
he's a striker.
That level wouldn't work for you guys.
I'm about to criticise Saliba here.
Ooh.
Because if Saliba don't play right centre-back, that goal never happens.
The Saka goal?
The first one. Because Ben White does that ball. That's something that's kind of underrated about Ben White, is that he's got that kind of cross-field, or he's got that long
Saliba's
passing.
Saliba's more of a ball carrier.
More of a ball carrier. He's a short passer. Like, what I want Saliba to do to elevate his game is to get that long pass into his game and get Saka turning the left back and get him in behind a little bit more, because that's not a goal
that we typically see if Saliba's the one playing right centre back and he has to make that action.
It's going
to
be more build up.
Yeah. He'll either give it to White or he'll give it to Partey to turn and do that type of thing. So
yeah,
good. True. I mean, good little assist from Ben White there, and quick, yeah, some homework for Saliba to do to up his game.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, Saka, bro, you know I'm already bored about boy, talking man. About it, man. He's the guy, man.
That's it, Robbo. We
missed him. We missed him.
I love Robbo, man, but I think...
It's been a bit of a weird period for Robbo, though.
Yeah,
man.
It has been a bit of a
the last year and a bit.
Just injuries and a bit of a loss of form.
Yeah, I think so.
Just a bit. I think there's been a bit of a sharpness missing in his game on both sides of it. Like, yeah, defensively, as well as going forward, I think you can get him.
I see Bobby starting to cat for 8 Nori and that now. I'm like,
he wears the low socks, though.
Would you be interested in swapping him for the other Robinson at Fulham?
Oh, he's a good player.
I like him.
Anthony.
Big U as well.
How old is he?
I want to say mid-20s. Yeah, big U.
I mean, I think a Robbo kind of replacement is on the back burner because I don't know if Tsimikas could take that role up.
He's a great deputy.
I think he kind of knows he's a nice deputy.
He's a really... You need good deputies. Yeah.
Substitute teacher.
Yeah, bro.
assistant head of house.
For real.
He's really good, man.
Yeah, he's good. I like the way he comes to
tidy player.
So I think Robbo, man, look, bro, we'll put it in the archive.
We'll forget about that one.
He's still a Liverpool legend.
Men in Black.
I was Declan Rice today because I didn't actually... I caught highlights because obviously I was podding elsewhere, but...
I have my when I compare him to Partey, I have my doubts about Declan in the six
because
I don't think he's as good as Partey in the six. But he was really good today. In the first half, anyways, he was really good today. Like
the set pieces, by the way.
Set pieces are obviously a facet of his game that we didn't know until we started taking corners from the other side. We didn't know he was doing that. Man. Yeah, right. Do you understand?
No, bro. The first one we got the warning where he put that crazy cross in.
It was two in a row, innit?
Quick, I'm gonna ask you this, Matt. What do you man think of the set piece coach stepping up to the side?
Yeah, it's class.
Yeah.
No one does the same thing. Hush was there watching it with us. He was like, "Yo, who's that?" I was like, "The set piece coach, man." Whenever we get a set piece, she goes.
He wants to take his credit, innit?
Yeah,
I hear it though, man. So when you score, the camera pans to him.
100%. 100%.
I fuck with it. It was a hell of a
ball. Arteta's like, yeah, you go up and do your thing. He's up there standing like he's the manager at the edge of the technical box. It's lick.
Give him a shine, man.
But yeah, no, in the first half, especially, because in the second half, I think the whole team just kind of retreated a little bit and were just kind of. Just kind of played a little bit submissive, just dark was succumbing to the pressure from Liverpool.
With the sliver and
you know, obviously, yeah, with the injuries and all that kind of stuff. But in the first half, especially, like he was winning his duels. Yeah. He reads the game so well. Like interceptions, so all of that. Liverpool didn't really play through the midfield in the first half. He was playing a lot of longer passes that were kind of getting cut out and all that. And like, do you know what I mean?
And that was my beef, you know, because I feel like the boy from Barakas, bro, I love him, man. I think he's so good. But I feel like he needs, in these big games, I feel like he just needs to step up, take his
lead. Is that Luis Diaz?
Luis Diaz, yeah.
Partey should have been food for him today. Partey's not a right back.
Bro, Partey had him in the back pocket today.
He should have been food for him today.
I can't lie.
There was only one time where he megs him and he done him and he tried to go past White and then he ran into the keeper. He just ran out of grass.
It was a shame. Like, I feel like that was a chance for us before the we scored the goal, we equalised, you guys started cooking. I felt like there was a couple moments where Diaz had Partey isolated and I was like, yes, cool. This is the situation that we want. And then Partey just...
Partey, come here.
You cannot pass me.
Give me the ball.
You cannot pass me. I was, oh my, bro, it was so jarring because I feel like these are the moments where you want Luis Diaz one-on-one against the guy hilarious. Who's not playing in his position.
Does it feel like Diaz will turn up in the games you're not really watching? But hear me out. I feel like when it's like a 3 p.m., on a Saturday,
blackout.
Diaz is going to end up scoring two.
He's a blackout baller.
That's what I'm saying.
But like when I'm actually like watching his games, not that I saw today, so hear me, forgive me. But like I just feel like, step up, don't turn up.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm asking because I feel like there was times in the start of the game where we were playing through the lines and grabbing back was doing that nice little. Half turn, no touch.
He loves it. Naughty, absolutely naughty. Sick.
But when the cross started coming, and we had to start pinging it long.
He didn't really play through the mid.
You need Diaz to like, okay, hold it, man, stick it up, bro. Every time, just every time he even got the ball under control, Partey's there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like I just feel like I need a bit more from him in the big moments.
But yeah, right.
When we had Salah, Mane, Firmino, that's what makes a trademark front three. You can do it in the 3 p.m. blackouts. But you need to do it, fam. You need to do it against Arsenal and go and celebrate in the corner, fam. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Rice was very good going back to him just quickly, though. Yeah, he was. He was good with his interceptions, reading of the game, winning the battles. And yeah, he was one of the ones, him and Mourinho kind of stopped Liverpool from playing through the midfield as much as they would have wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like, obviously playing through the midfield, like, you get the best of Jones, you get the best of McAllister. We didn't really get the best of either of them two today.
Yeah, true.
Which is a bit disappointing. I know Jones had that really good game against Chelsea, and I thought, okay, he might play here today and really show up and really turn up.
Yeah.
And obviously McAllister, you know, I rate him as probably one of your best midfielders, but they didn't really...
Yeah, McAllister, I feel like McAllister kind of has a bit of Diaz about him in that sense. I feel like in some games he just...
Blackout baller.
He just goes a bit missing sometimes. I think he's a great player, but I just feel like in some games where you need to step up and just be a bit more present, especially in midfield.
He's one of those players where, like, when he actually does something in a game, you may not necessarily, like, notice...
I'm just going to close that door. But
yeah, no stress.
Yeah.
You may not, like, notice things. He's not, like, a noticeable footballer in a game anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you look at someone like a Ryan Gravenberch, most of his actions are going to catch your eye. Yeah. So when he does a bad game, it looks even worse because he's not somebody that necessarily impacts the game, for me, in a sense of, like, a Gravenberch where he'll do a no-touch turn and start ball carrying, or, like, a Curtis Jones, who, you know, is very tidy with the ball and he's got
facts,
touch and tech, whereas McAllister's a good footballer. But you're not going to notice him. So when he has a bad game, it just shines even more because he's not noticeable generally.
Like,
when in the games where like he is playing well, like we seem so much more controlled because he pops up in areas where he's ticking the next move over. But today, it just...
He's best as an eight, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think someone made a great observation in commentary. I can't remember who it was. It said that Jones played really well in the double six last week with Gravenberch, but he played more advanced this week. So maybe that's why he wasn't as involved, because I guess behind Rice and Mourinho, the man were just snuffing him out and Obviously, man, let's talk about Mo Salah, because Mo Salah scored, I think this is maybe his eighth goal against Arsenal.
Just
163 line, Premier League goals.
Yeah, 163. Yeah. I think he went past Defoe. Was it Defoe?
Went past Defoe.
I heard that.
Does he?
Baller. He's a baller, man.
I don't know. What can we say about Mo Salah, man?
I never wore. That's the only word for him. He's never wore.
He's going to pop up something.
He's gonna pop a sack.
Kiz was trying to. I think he was trying to bait you in a group chat this week. He's talking about, oh, he's a bigger legend than Gerrard for Liverpool. Listen. What do you think, though?
Nah, man, Gerrard's the goat, bro, for Liverpool.
Because there's a strong, argument.
I get it.
On Salah's case, you know.
But I feel like you are
all of these
Liverpool
goals.
It's true, yeah, right. It's a Gerrard thing.
Well, maybe some of the younger fans might surprise
a non-scouse.
But
it's like a Gerrard, yeah, for real.
You know what it is? I think the thing about Gerrard, because he sacrificed his whole career to stay at Liverpool.
Yeah, for so bro.
If you don't love
what
him,
could have been Gerrard?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
If he had left Liverpool, my lord.
But in terms of that legacy, in terms of Salah and Gerrard, bro, Salah's just ended top 10 Premier League goal scorers of all time.
Mm.
He's won what he's won. Oof. I mean, we touched on it a couple of weeks ago about Kizza said, does he surpass Ronaldo's legacy in the Premier League? I don't know. Ooh. It's
Cristiano. I think so.
Ooh, depends on how you look at it, because Ronaldo's pivotal in three league titles. Like, even in the one last season, he phoned it in. Like, 100% wanted to go.
Yeah.
He had no interest in being at United in the last season, but he still played such a key role in three titles. So if you're talking Premier League legend, it depends on how you're looking at it from an individual perspective versus like what you've actually achieved in league. Because I think three league titles,
I was looking at it.
Three league titles is crazy.
Consecutively is a mad thing, especially when he's like central to it. It's not like he played like a Nicky Butt role, respectfully to Nicky Butt. Like
he was the guy. Yeah.
I even forgot about him. I can't even lie to you. Nicky Butt.
Salah deserves huge flowers.
I was looking at, for that great point that you made, I was looking at it individually, to be honest, because I don't think Ronaldo was like at his peak for long.
He went three seasons,
then he went to Madrid, and
that's when he took off.
Ronaldo there.
Well, interestingly, I was listening to Phil Fellas the other day, Sean Wright Phillips was on, and Sean Wright Phillips said that he thinks the best version of Ronaldo was the Ronaldo that was in the Prem.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. Do they?
Nah, because
I think they see it from an entertainment perspective, though.
Yeah,
that appeals, I think,
that speaks more to Sean Wright Phillips' nature as a winger.
Do you know what I mean?
The winger version of him, like the more clinical striker version, which was like the back end of Man United, and then Madrid version of him.
Yeah.
That's the version that we all kind of see. But I guess from Wright Phillips' perspective as a winger, he likes the winger version.
I think it was a bit more like duality to Ronaldo's game. at United, where there was like the entertainment factor, where he was still doing
step over, flick up the leg, chop. Remember that 2 years also in the corner?
Ashley Cole, yeah. That's the prime example. I think it was Drew that he did that to, isn't it?
Was it Drew? Oh, Drew. Oh, that was the other one. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ashley Cole wouldn't have that.
Ashley Cole was bad, though.
Yeah, nah.
Ashley Cole said never again after that.
Yeah.
And he legit meant it. Never again. It never happened again.
Yeah, yeah, I can't actually. Yeah,
because he locked him down after that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
But that Drew one, that was disrespectful. Yeah, that was disrespectful. Yeah,
yeah. But I think Salah's. I think you pointed out earlier when we were speaking about Salah's goal today. It was really impressive. Obviously, Nunes has done really well to make the pass.
The run.
Even though it was a bit clumsy in his pass.
Yeah, that pass. That pass was clumsy.
Kind of thought.
Nah, he was in two minds. On my life, he was on two minds. Because 100%. I recognised that. I've done that before. He was in two minds. Like, oh, should I cross the
Let me just. If you don't pass to Salah, he's in the middle of the goal right now.
He's getting the train home, bro.
He's not on a coach. He's not on a plane.
Trust me.
He has to cut off the
plane. You have to pay £150 to get that Thames link. You better have a rail card.
He's getting the megabus home, bro, if he doesn't pass that, honestly. But yeah,
Salah's not. Just Salah's movement. Like, where he's.
I blame Kvyat and Lewis Skelly for
that. I know you do. You mentioned it earlier.
Because they were together, innit? They were like holding hands, bro.
Right, we was me and Gaz had it on YouTube. I said, listen, if you pause it right there,
wait, and you just go.
He literally did his Monday Night Football segment. Yeah.
Brother.
Crazy.
But Salah's movement to go, like, obviously, Nunes has got the ball there. But he's gone sort of out to in.
Yeah.
Which is fine. He's giving himself the space to be free. Really, really good movement. And I think that's one of his strongest facets of his game. Even if you argue he's slowing down, if you say he's never really had a great isolation game 1v1 where he's going to take a man on, two things you know he's going to do. He's going to finish, and he's going to be able to find space through his movement.
Yeah. 100%.
And he's never going to lose that probably for the next like 2, 3, 4 years.
100%.
Wherever he goes to play football. Yeah. So.
I'm never, ever, ever going to kill Miles Lewis-Skelly, especially at this stage in his career.
Young man,
all them Arsenal fans who are like, yeah, Miles should play left back, there you go.
Yeah. Young man, bro. Young man. I guess that's one of those footballing lessons he's definitely going to learn. But game ends 2-2. Let me just go to the table. Liverpool. Point behind City.
Yeah, yeah.
Asna, 5 points behind.
Arsenal are now 5 points behind. Charles, I guess at this stage of the season, we all, like, everyone's been saying about how to catch City, you have to be perfect, etc. Even with us, obviously, we're a point behind them now. So technically, we're playing catch up. What do you think going forward, man? I think who's coming up next?
I mean, they still got to come to the Emirates.
Yeah, true.
So, I'm not claiming it now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we need to see what happens, like how the squads are going, like what the form is like going into that game. But I want 3 points from that.
Yeah.
And then I think,
out there, yeah,
bro, 100%, 100%. And then I'm like, the way we are now, like the injuries, the suspect, bro, we can't go a game. We literally can't go a game the last 3-4 without a red card or without an injury.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been dramatic for you, man, this season,
brother. It's been EastEnders for us.
Omnibus.
Kick the air,
you know, on the Sunday, there's bare episode.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday's episode, really one.
Arsenal season coming, like EastEnders, Omnibus,
you know. Double yellow.
Oh my God,
Omnibus.
Bro.
Injury
here. EastEnders.
I'm on the halfway line, though. Oh, no, but it's a red.
Yeah, brother.
Bad things happen. Yeah.
So, for us, I feel like we just need to be within touching distance.
Yeah.
And then hopefully recover some of these injuries, recover some of these suspensions, get Odegaard back. Get
us, I think you need Ozzy back, man.
Keep us, 100%, because that'll transform the way that we play as well. Yeah.
Bro, there's one movement in the second half where, what's his name? The young boy, Nwari.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes on, and bro, he picks up the ball on the edge of our box, and that's Odegaard. If that's not Nwari, that's Odegaard. And it's just like, just what he would have done different in that position.
There was another little point in the second half where, like, we were on the break, and there was one point where Trossard had the ball, and all he needed to do was slide Martinelli in, and Trossard can use his left, but like he just don't have the quickness or the conviction to do it the way that Odegaard would have just done it so naturally. He kind of just turned around and then played it with his left, and then it's too late. Trent's back in, type of thing. So 100%. We need
he's a dog, by the way, Trossard.
Yeah, he's lit.
He works, bro.
It's too lit.
Lie. He works.
He was on it today.
He's definitely.
That's been due because he's been rubbish recently.
He's been rubbish.
He missed a pen in the
mission. So is Martinelli as well, by the way. That boy works his socks off.
Yeah, 100. He's South American. Got that dog, fam. The man, they're poor.
Respect
them. This is all they have, fam. But yeah, Arsenal, we need to just keep ourselves within touching distance. we kind of need to get away from Villa and Chelsea a little bit, but we need to keep ourselves within touching distance of the top two.
Bro, Villa.
Wait for the injuries to come back. Wait for us to get like our squad back a little bit, and then maybe we can just keep ourselves in a position to pounce at this point.
Facts, man. Guys, you made a good point about international break coming up as well.
Yeah, so, it's a nice time to reset.
Back again.
Hopefully, we've heard
international break, man.
For Arsenal fans, though,
again,
we've probably taken an international break as an Arsenal fan just to reset.
Right now, 100%. Like we've just drawn and lost our last two games. I'm a bit worried because I've heard that Norway want to.
Call up Odegaard.
Yeah, they want to call up Odegaard. I'm thinking, blah, relax, man. I lie. Chill, like he's not injured or something. His ankle, man.
Call him up, man. Let him check. Let him play, man.
Yeah, we need to see what's happening with Gabriel and Timber now. Obviously, Calafiori, like that's not he's only going to be out for a couple of weeks. It's not looking too long, but do you know what I mean? Like we need players back.
Yeah, for sure. No,
otherwise, we can't even fill the bench. Going to be bare 17-year-olds on the bench.
Yeah, I think you know what will be interesting as we move on to El Clasico. It'll be.
Phew, thank God for that.
Yeah.
You say you're done with the Arsenal now?
No, I'm saying if you're not talking about United, thank you.
we'll get there. Don't worry.
We'll get there,
but we have to wait. Let's go.
East London.
It'll be interesting to see how Saliba plays without Gabriel. I feel like we know what Gabriel's like without Saliba. I think it'll be interesting to see what Saliba's like without Gabriel.
Hey, they're throwing some charges on Saliba for his international performances as well.
I know.
There's always a little something in his game where something goes wrong. I'm not on him because I think
he's got beef with the gaffer, innit? Yeah, he's got beef with the gaffer still.
Sensation. But yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see. As for Liverpool, we're still in the woods. We've got to go Brighton away in the EFL Cup, and then we have Brighton in the league at home.
Wait, back to back Brighton?
Yeah.
Chelsea and Newcastle, they got them.
What's your starting 11 for Liverpool? Say everyone's fit.
Ooh, probably how it's been going.
I understand your back five wouldn't change per se, but like the midfield and front three.
Probably how it's been, bro. McAllister, Gravenberch. I like Szoboszlai in the 10.
You prefer Szoboszlai over Curtis, yeah?
I do like Szoboszlai. I'm a Szoboszlai fan. I feel like
he gets a lot of stick.
Yeah, I feel like there's not many of them, but I'm one of them. I'd still go ahead with Diaz just because I feel like he has a bit more of a maverick in him than Cody.
Gakpo's a safe option.
Yeah. And then Salah on the right, and then Jota up top. I think Nunes, to be fair to him, since Jota's been injured, he's done well
all right, isn't he?
The last few weeks. So I'm on the train to get proved wrong. But yeah, that would be my team. Fair. I like Szoboszlai, man. I think he's...
Player FC, yeah?
Yeah, bro.
Go
on,
Bob. Do your team, fam.
No, I like him, man. I like how much his work rate. I think his tech is really good. I like the way he links play as well. He's got that little... I don't know if it's even a trait on FIFA anymore, but you know when he just like... He loves a like... You know the man that are doing the combos and then one of the man does the Cruyff. He does the flick.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes it's really, really good. Sometimes not so much.
Sometimes very shit.
Yeah, but sometimes I like... Really, the more really he does it, the more I'm not mad at it. So yeah, I really like Szoboszlai.
Flurry.
Yeah, we'll see. But all right, man. Let's go over to La España. That's how you say it.
España.
Madrid. Let's set the scene. Kylian Mbappe. His first ever El Clasico. Endrick's first El Clasico. Pedri's first El Clasico. No, Pedri or Gavi's first El Clasico. One of those two. And Danny...
I think maybe it's Gavi. He's been injured for a while. Yeah. I think Pedri...
Danny Olmo's first Clasico, man. This one was baller. Top billing. And it's mad. I feel like this is really... like it's nice how it... Well, it's not so nice now because of the result. But the fact that the Ballon d'Or ceremony is on Monday, this is like... The shop window game for it to happen. For real. 4-0 to Barcelona, man. Unreal. Did anyone see this coming? I know Barcelona have been good this season.
I said to you, Bob, I thought Barcelona would win, but I didn't see 4-0.
4-0 is crazy.
4-0 is crazy.
4-0 is crazy. Man, did anyone see the game start to finish?
I watched like half of the first half.
Yeah.
And then I was cooking, so I was like in and out of the kitchen watching the second. Bro, every time I went to the kitchen, come back, Barcelona scored again. It was crazy stuff.
And it's some parsley and there's a goal. Yeah.
Literally.
I just went in to marinate my food.
Literally, quickly. Bro, obviously the first half was good. Like, it was end to end. Both teams were being entertaining, playing good football, creating chances.
You see the Vinny chance?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to score.
Oh, bro, Vin. Oh,
has to win it.
Got to score, man.
Has to win it.
I think that might be why he doesn't get the love that he needs, maybe. Because you've got to score that, man. You've got to score.
I think there's some...
He chopped a few men as well.
Bro,
he chopped a few.
Bro, and he dragged it past the near post.
Dragonel, innit?
Dragonel. Mbappe scored that one that was offside.
I can't lie, Mbappe, I see that. Mbappe scored a couple offside goals.
Yeah.
He's offside 8 times in that game.
Eight times.
I think it shows the fine margins of high level, top level football, where like, if one of those, if Vinny scores or Mbappe isn't offside for one of them, it can completely flip the
whole game.
Everything,
they might not end up losing 4-0 looking like they've been battered.
Yeah.
But because they didn't, and Barca have gone on to score twice in 2 minutes, the game's done.
Completely changes
the outlook on the game. And it's funny how, like, I think that applies to life, but especially in football. It's just fine.
You're right.
Yeah,
it's a real shame.
Hansi Flick got Barcelona back.
Yeah, he has.
He's got them back.
Because that was a hell of a moment as well when Mbappe scores from the
outside. Hey, Rafinha's got dink.
It was the way he had the keeper like try to like dive and he like bounced.
A
dink always looks better when there's players trying to run to scramble it off the line as well, and they both end up
if they end up in the net, even worse.
Yeah.
He wants to give another goal.
Everything's in the net. Everything.
Facts. But that was a hell of a moment. We were robbed of by the
offside. Barca in the second half, Barca in the second half, like, they had their counter on point. They're razor sharp on the counter. And then I seen at Madrid, they took off.
What did he say?
He said, your man snatched Mbappe's chain.
Nah, he did, bro. He did. Like, we're talking
embraces.
We're trying to talk Ballon d'Or. We're trying to either give it to Vinny or Bellingham, one of them Madrid boys. And they got slapped up like that.
I'm hearing Pedri gave a little session to Bellingham, showing how it's done and that, man.
Damn.
Yeah, little peak 90 minutes for Bellingham there, man.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
I think Pedri's like your purest favourite footballer. Like, if you're a purist of football, like, you know, some people just love tech to the bone. Like, Kiz.
Yeah.
Kiz is a Pedri guy. He's not a Bellingham guy, per se.
If Iniesta had a kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be something like Pedri.
Lewandowski's moving dark.
I'm not going to lie. His performance, I was like, wow.
Because I thought last season was him done.
I mean, he's got all these techie...
Young boys,
quick.
Maybe the manager has a part to play as well.
For sure.
The manager and the German.
For sure. Hansi Flick.
He's got all these techie, quick wingers around him that are just giving him the ball to finish off. And we know what Lewandowski's like as a finisher, man.
You say about that, Charles, though, having like a young team, bro. Their average age of this team is 24 and a half years old.
They had six academy players the other day, man.
Yeah.
They got real trust in...
rises because Lewandowski's in the team.
Yeah, for real. They got real trust in some of their defenders, like Kubasi, that 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah, Kubasi.
He's already looking like a top European defender, you know.
Yeah,
where's he from?
Kubasi, he's Spanish. I'm pretty sure he's La Masia, you know.
Yeah.
It's like 17, tech man, as a centre back as well. It's crazy.
They make La Masia is like a factory, bro.
Yeah.
For real,
bro.
It's like a factory, yeah.
Because they have to be, because they ain't got no money.
Factory, bro.
So obviously,
making players.
Talking about Lewandowski, that finish, by the way, for the first goal, bro. He finished it from outside the area.
Quality.
And he could have just gone through bare closer.
It's a confidence thing, isn't it? When you're feeling yourself.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The joke's thing is he could have got four goals.
Yeah, he missed two big.
He could have got.
He scored two and he missed two. He broke even.
When Lemine slapped it, I was like, yeah.
I threw my phone.
It's peak,
bro.
Left foot, then right.
Weak foot, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man,
let's talk about him then, man. Obviously, this game was probably all the posters, all the PR, all the build up. Yeah. Probably Mbappe, Vinny. Obviously, Yamal has done his thing, but Yamal really stole the show here, didn't he, man? People are saying, is he as good as Messi? Blah blah. With Messi was 17. Blah blah blah. That's a bit of a lazy narrative. But how good is this kid, man?
Because very good.
He is turning up in important moments for big clubs and for his country as well. How good is this kid?
Can I address the Messi thing?
Yes, you can.
He's not as good as Messi was when he was his age. No chance.
No chance.
Messi is a lot quicker. He's a lot better dribbler. He's a lot better finisher. Messi was something scary at that age.
Yeah.
I feel like where you could maybe have a comparison or a conversation when it comes to Lamine and Messi is the passing.
Yeah, his passing is. His passing is
on point.
He passes like he's 25. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got that maturity, that final ball, that delivery that he has.
Do you know what he passes like? Do you see Seydouf in the game?
The Legends game.
Seydouf.
He's got a hell of a...
Nah. Yamal, like Seydouf, bro.
At his age, to already have like a hell of a final ball is scary. Yeah. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
The only concern you would have for him is... The burnout / injury concern for them at football. He already started playing in his career for club and country.
Yeah,
like no, he's such a key no days off. Yeah. No days off.
I wonder what happens when like he has to hit gym and his body, like his man body, changes a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Because a bit stockier.
That's gonna be a little bit of a factor. That's kind of what happened with Saka. Like when Saka was young, like he was a lot skinnier and he was a lot mazier. Do you know what I mean?
Facts.
Now Saka's like he's He's around about 6 foot and he's strong.
He is, bro. Because the bare times today, I was like, I just nudge him off the ball, bro.
He's strong. Nah, he's bare pounded yam, fam. Yeah, bro. Nah.
I'll take that still.
Nah, yeah, he's stiff. I kind of sucker stiff. Hey,
whoa, so, yeah, be. Whoa. Steady, steady now.
Oh,
so yeah, I hope his game don't change too much as he gets.
He's a physical football player.
Strong.
He's a strong boy. Yeah, he's a strong boy.
Where is my son?
My soul. Yeah, I just hope touch wood. Fuck's sake.
Nah, let me
time is in the skip. That's so mad. What a mad twist in that show.
Lamine is dark though.
Touch wood or touch my head.
He's dark,
Lamine Yamal, that he doesn't get no injuries.
Nah, for real.
Or that, do you know what I mean?
I think if Barca are responsible, they find another winger at some point in the next year
they
or want, two when they bring someone else
they
in.
They want his friend, innit? What's the other black? Williams.
Oh, Williams. Nico.
Is it Nico?
Yeah, Nico.
Onakai or Senada?
Inyaki's the brother. He's the older brother.
Yeah, Nico Williams. That would be a good signing. Yeah. But then Rafinha.
They were
going
to get him,
Yeah, bro. That one.
That is the next one.
Recently, he's been moving mad.
Captain as well, you know?
Yeah. From where, by the way?
That's what I'm saying.
It's so funny how that like, people.
I think because they're all 18, bro.
People's opinions on footballers can flip so quick because Rafinha's first year, because this is his third year there, right? His first year was kind of good, where they won the league. His second year was poor, and people were looking at him like, "What kind of?
Yeah, why didn't we sign him? Yeah,
he was big money as well,
and now he's looking like one of the best wingers in the world again. And football's a funny cycle. I think sometimes you need the coach that believes in you, the coach that comes in at the right time,
100%, that's
that can implement a system that suits you,
100%,
and finds out your best skill sets. And I
word
think
to Kai Havertz.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
What a
kind of Rafinha, his performance. Breezy.
He's playing well.
Oh, that dink. Oh, God. Because the keeper was like, oh, did he try it? Oh,
yeah.
He brought even
schooled Ancelotti, man.
Even in Champ.
Yeah, bro.
His performance in Champ as well.
That hat trick that he got. Crazy. Yeah, I think it kind of the game kind of fell apart for Real Madrid when they went chasing it. Obviously they went down, so they had to. I understand how they had to chase it, but they took Tchouaméni off and they put Modric on.
Yeah.
And
right, I think that's evidable evidenced in the first goal. Like that was just one pass through the whole
team. Yeah, yeah.
And Lewandowski's in on goal. It's mad. Sorry, bro, Karen.
But then obviously where Tchouaméni is a little bit more defensively solid, he hasn't really been playing well for Madrid recently, but if we're talking profile, he's a lot more physically capable than somebody like Modric. So when Barcelona are hitting on the break with Modric on the pitch instead of Tchouaméni, it's looking even more devastating.
Yeah.
Not for really any fault of Modric's own because he's the one trying to go forward. And, do you know what I mean? He's just a little
saying,
man.
what are we saying for the keeper though? The Real Madrid keeper.
Quickly on
The Real Madrid keeper. Hey, come on. He has to hold some stickers on though.
Yeah, he does. He does, to be fair. Just quickly on Rafinha.
He got battered yesterday. It's peak, man.
6 goals in the league for Rafinha. 4 goals in the Champions League this season. So, bro, he's really having a resurgence.
Starting off.
He is, man. He's having a real resurgence. But let's talk about the other guy, man. Before we move on, back to the Premier League. We get the Ryanair playing back to the Premier League. Kylian Mbappe, Vinicius Jr., man. Carlo Ancelotti, if anyone can solve this problem, getting all the superstars in one team, it's going to be him. Obviously, it's right, bruv. Obviously, crises are relative, I guess, to the club.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Mbappe hasn't started life, I guess, as he would have wanted to, being like firing on all cylinders. Still got 6 goals this season in the league.
Mm-hmm. I seen somebody tweet that Real Madrid have been cultivating something amazing in terms of like their squad building for the last couple of years, only for them to ruin it with one signing.
Damn.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it fits Real Madrid's style of play?
I don't think it will.
I'm not too sure, you know.
They have to make it work, man.
Yeah, they have to make it work.
But the thing about Madrid and the thing about Ancelotti especially is that he's the kind of person that can
get it going.
Yeah, he can like he's very what's the word? He can adapt to the situation well.
Yeah.
Like and he can get the players to sort of use their IQ to kind of get them through games and win them competitions and figure it out essentially.
In the right positions,
so if you've got somebody like Mbappe, like with his ability alone, it might take time, and I feel like this is the thing that nobody's affording Real Madrid, is that it's probably going to take time for this because the thing that you were saying,
it needs to work right now.
And the thing that you were saying, like when you was kind of teeing this up, Bob, you was like, oh, Mbappe, Vinny, and like that's exactly the thing. Like, who's the guy in this team? Yeah, I feel like Vinny, there's a little bit of an ego struggle going on.
Yeah.
Vinny might be about to get the Ballon d'Or, but Mbappe, is he a better player? Oh, he's the number nine now. Mm. Oh, but they both like to be on the left. Like, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things to consider and a lot of things to figure out.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But if anybody's going to do it, it's probably going to be this manager and this team that have been doing that before. They've been changing things around to try and figure it out, to try and win stuff before. So I feel like people need to afford it time. But yeah, it's like you said, Jengi, people don't want to take time.
They want it now.
Yeah.
And I think that's more like a social media thing as well. So what I noticed...
100%.
...is like... anyone now, even Saka, Foden, Bellingham, you can have like
two bad games,
you're over.
The low light clips are ready. With music.
Have you seen my son?
The memes.
The memes are funny though.
United fans have been waiting for Sancho to have one half meaty game
with troops.
Yeah.
Kennington, where it started.
Which in one sense is like...
Bellingham's getting that treatment as well.
He's getting it now. Which in one sense is like, it's funny for like a social media commentary sort of thing. But then it also is quite limiting in like a conversation about football, because some people actually take these opinions...
It's not healthy.
And it shapes their thoughts on sports. Yeah. And it shapes their opinions on football.
Yeah, that's very true.
Which I think is why it's important when we have podcasts like this, where it's going to be like, oh, we can have bants, but we can also have an honest discourse about footballers. Because I think sometimes the social media thing does go a bit too far. Now people start thinking, oh, it's Bellingham.
They paid that much for Mbappe?
No, for real.
Yeah, exactly. When he's the boy wonder. When I think one thing that is going under the radar with Real Madrid as well, before we wrap up, the absence of Toni Kroos. Just remember, they just lost Toni Kroos.
Dictator.
At midfield as well.
No pun, obviously, for his heritage.
Well, we'll do that. Yeah. But yeah,
dictator.
So I think the absence of Toni Kroos in this team as well is probably playing a big part.
Bro, keeps it ticks.
Yeah.
Bro,
What's that Tarantino movie?
Inglourious Basterds.
That's the one. Yeah. He's the Inglourious Basterds from.
He is indeed. All right, guys, we've just checked in for our flight back to England.
Oh, fuck off, man.
Man said Ryanair, right? With them small. My knees are hurting after the Ryanair flight.
Yo, if you want to bring a bag on here, mate, it's £30.
Trust me.
All right,
it needs to fit in that little fucking dickhead, man.
It's slightly, there's a tag over the side. Yep, that's £30, mate. Ryanair, we'll have that. Thank you very much.
Fucking shit seats, man. Bro, fucking, I can't stretch my legs on a Ryanair.
Knee knockers.
But you got to sit on the end.
Bro, it's true.
Even then, it's still an issue.
One leg out on the end.
Trust me.
But they can't even do that because people are walking past and they got that trolley. Yeah, it's a myth, man.
Dead food as well, man.
I kind of right there, yeah. Short trips
never
only.
Any good
short
options.
Trips only.
This is so funny. All right,
only.
Guys, let's go to your team, man. Manchester United.
The London Stadium. Let's go, man.
The London
East London,
Stadium.
Where's that, man?
Man, how did you... obviously, you guys lost 2-1 today. How did this game go, man? I guess it was a last-minute pen. takes the gloss off a little bit of it being such a big defeat.
It's nevertheless, a defeat, bro.
It's a defeat.
United, United 14th. So let's
my man,
you can't gloss anything about 14th. United about United season this season. 14th, it is what it is. They're 14th and they've got 11 points.
Apostle Paul, yeah, about this.
Let me pull up, man.
The results. Hey, let me read you these results, and you lot tell me what you think, right?
14.
Let me read you these.
You end up in championship.
So listen to this, yeah.
Hey, forget,
brother.
You end up in championship.
That's so funny.
Listen to these results, right? Well, Saturday, 21st of September, 0-0 with Palace. So they scored no goals there.
No, go on.
United, I say day now because I really struggle to assign myself to the team.
Ten Hag, man.
United then drew 1-1 with FC 20 at home.
Crazy.
They went on to lose 3-0 to Tottenham at Old Trafford. So they've scored one goal in three games so far. Sad. They then conceded 3 against Porto in a 3-3 draw. So they've scored 4 but conceded 4 as well. They drew 0-0 with Villa, which is the make or break game. Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, two games
before the international break. They went on to beat Brentford 2-1. Take from that what you will. Still conceded again. Drew 1-1 with Fenerbahce after going 1-0 up again.
Fred and Amrabat.
And then went on to lose 2-1 to West Ham today, who are one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, they're playing bad at the
moment. West Ham.
If you watch that first half, because I only caught the first half.
Must have been mad.
The first half was
poor from West Ham. God. Like, bad. One of the worst.
You guys had serious chances as well.
Chances didn't even make sense. Mm. There's no way. Especially when you look at, like, you look at Lopetegu team and you think, like, one of the foundations of his team is, like, being quite solid defensively, foundation-wise, like, the basics. Just do the basics well. His Wolves team weren't great. They did the basics really, really well.
Yeah, yeah.
West Ham are all over the place, bro. Garnacho was in twice within, like, 5 minutes. Should have scored at least one of them.
West Ham.
But his technical erraticness in front of goal is awful. It's one of the worst facets of his game. He's so technically erratic.
Yeah, yeah.
You can never bank on him in front of goal. Mm. So whilst people
slows
like...
slows anything down. It feels so, like, rushed with him.
Rashford had a chance. Hoyland did. Diego Dallo, I don't even know what to say.
Oh, I can't believe he missed that. That's miss of the season, man.
Is Garnacho better than Nani?
No way.
What? Is he better than...
In fucking impossible.
No way.
Bro, that's fucking impossible. Yeah, that's better. I'm not even being mad at you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fucking Luis Nani? Bro, I'll die to have Luis Nani today.
No, Luis Nani
is he better than
cold.
Antonio Valencia?
No.
No?
Is he better than Adnan Januzaj?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Is he better than Januzaj?
That's a good question.
Wait, is he...
I think...
Do you want to come back to that one?
Januzaj had tech, you know.
Yeah, Januzaj was good. Januzaj was a tech.
Is he better than Gabriel Obertan?
Oh, yeah. Kind of
I think that's where the level goes to.
I'm out. He's better than Ashley Young.
Yeah, he's not better than Ashley Young. No.
Ashley Young was a good runner.
But I think Ashley Young at Villa was different to the one that we had at to be fair. But yeah, he's so technically erratic. And the problem is, even if you say VAR has done United over, or it shouldn't have been a penalty, United had all these chances.
Oh, delit.
It was clumsy from him, but I think it's a harsh pen, though.
I don't rate him, man.
It's clumsy from him.
Matias still lit.
I think if it wasn't given as a penalty, I would have been like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think it was a bit harsh.
It's given.
But
it's
United
Dutch,
had more than enough
Dutch
chances to win the game. Yeah. And ooh, like, the issue is they've conceded two goals again.
Again, yeah.
To West Ham. So whether that shouldn't have been a goal or not, they've still conceded anyway. They've conceded a second and they haven't taken their chances. This is Erik ten Hag's team. He's in his third season. His third season of having these group of players. So it's his team. There's no excuses. There's no like, oh, this was, what's his name? This is Ralf Rangnick's squad or this is Ole Gunners. This is your team.
These are your
players.
And what you added to that team.
What was he saying about Arsenal in the week?
He's always talking about Arsenal.
He loves us, man.
Weird, man. I love him, man.
It's weird, isn't it?
And he doesn't fill you with any confidence with what he says off the pitch when he's getting his presses and stuff. Everything doesn't make sense. What
did he say the joint where he's like, oh, well, you know, we're very hard to beat. You know, we went to Fenerbahce and we went to Porto and we got two draws. So, obviously, we're
hard to beat. What he said today is one of my favourite quotes of his of all time. One team deserved to win. That was clear and obvious. But clear and obvious was not how VAR worked.
The Tottenham thing pissed me off.
It's killing
me. The Tottenham thing pissed me off. Oh, he said, I don't count the Tottenham loss.
Yeah, that's mad.
I said, you don't count it.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. He needs to go.
We had a player sent off and the VAR overturned it.
Yeah.
The Premier League overturned it. I don't count it.
He needs to go, man.
It's time to go.
Assassination. At this point, it's terrorism, isn't it?
Assassination.
At this point.
14th.
What do you think, guys? Next international break, do you think that's going to be... Because obviously there's been all these there's been a big ball meeting in London for Man United execs, etc.
Just do it after
obviously
you play us.
Obviously, something's cooking in the background.
I think, he's in trouble, man.
Do you think this next international break could be time for the axe to chop?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of Xavi talk.
What
are you hearing? I know you can't give away too much.
I'm hearing Xavi is... That's a serious thing, apparently. Apparently it is.
It's come out of nowhere as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, for real.
United need to make a change. If they want Xavi... If they actually believe Xavi is their guy for like a two to three year period, then do it now. Do it now. Give him time to work during international break.
Speaks good English as well.
Yeah, he's very, really, really is articulate. Yeah, very articulate.
Oh, okay.
If not, let Rude do what he can until you can go in the summer and you bring someone else in.
Do you think Xavi will work at Man United though?
I don't really doubt his ideas or what he could potentially bring to you guys.
I don't think he has the players the way he would want to play.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about the personnel. Unless Ineos get the wallet out after a year.
He it was interesting because he kind of made his Barca team, they could play ball.
Yeah.
But he kind of made them like quite a defensively solid outfit. They weren't as attractive as I would say like the Hansi Flick team have been for the most part this season. And it kind of goes against what you'd assume a Xavi type of principle to be. And I think Luis Enrique had an issue with this because he was like, you guys are praising Xavi, but I did the same thing and he's getting credit and I didn't, because Enrique didn't get the same love in it. So yeah, I think Xavi would be interesting because of the profile of players United have. It's a mishmash of a squad still. You've got someone like Xerxes who, whether you rate or not, is like more of a technical footballer.
He could thrive.
He wants to jink and play and touch and you touch and touch. But then you've got Bruno, Rashford and Garnacho who are the complete opposite.
Gamblers.
Exactly. Then you've got Ugarte, Casemiro. But then you've got Mazraoui and Dalot. So there's like such a mishmash of the whole team.
Can I ask you a question? your comment, your thoughts of Mazraoui in the 10 in midweek?
I didn't watch the game, luckily. I was busy.
That game was awful, man. I didn't watch it.
I
watched the second half.
But the reasoning being he's played there before for me.
He played for me before with Ajax. So he can do it.
Did you watch the game?
You've got that nailed, by the way.
It's the sketchy.
As we saw with Ahmad, Ahmad was just pissed.
Because he came on like Bird against Fenerbahce. I was like, brother, this guy was playing well.
He came on for Anthony, who came on but got injured.
Yeah.
When you come on with Anthony,
he played today as well.
He came on for Rashford today.
Because he played a hell of a ball for the goal as well.
I'm surprised Anthony's still there though. Anthony needs to.
They're playing left back.
When Ten Hag goes, Anthony needs to go with Ten Hag.
He came on the 60th.
Anthony's not gonna have a future at United.
It's like that.
Gaz is letting you know you've got no future at the club.
Yeah, do that to Anthony.
We can't relieve you of yourself.
You will never make it.
He will never.
At this club,
mutual agreement on his contract.
He will never make it at United.
He won't, man. Unfortunately.
Yo,
more misery for Manchester United, man. Gaz, I'm sorry to say, but I love to see it, bro.
Of course, man. That's the goal, bro. That's the game.
14
is the game.
You end up in championship.
Listen,
Man United. Let's have a little look for you, broski. Manchester United.
I thought that was a League Cup game. Leicester and Donald got in the league, but I know they got Leicester midweek.
Let me see. Let me see if my iPad will load it.
What, the next couple games for United? Loading.
Next game is Leicester in the EFL Cup, and then it's at home to Chelsea.
That's a loss.
Yeah, but
Carl. That's a loss, man.
Carl and Nicole Jackson already. They're dark.
Yeah, that's a loss.
So after that, up until the international break, so this is, I guess, the running for Ten Hag, up until an international break, you have Leicester in the League Cup at home, and then you have Chelsea at home, and then you have POAC at home in the Europa League, and then you have Leicester at home. So four home games on the bounce. So.
That Chelsea game's a loss.
Yeah.
Chelsea game's going to be hard. But all right, guys, let's go quickly through the rest of the league because we've got some Ballon d'Ors to talk about. Let's talk about Chelsea-Newcastle. Cole Palmer scored again today.
That pass was ridiculous.
Long day for them two Newcastle centre backs, man.
Yeah, for real. Bare running. Yeah.
There was no. Who was the centre backs? Because there was no Botman, and I was like, Botman.
Yeah,
they're gonna struggle, man.
They
had Dan Byrne, and they had who's the other one? Who's the other
centre
back
today?
For
was Dan Byrne and Fabian Shaw.
I was just looking at them two centre backs, thinking, right, Nico Jackson running and ragged. Cole Palmer in the pocket, like it's just going to be long.
He's going to be long.
And both of the goals kind of came from like that middle area of the pitch, or like Cole Palmer picking it up from deep, playing that ball in between the centre back and the left back. Neto's on it into Jackson. They can't keep up with him. And then the second goal, it gets broken down in midfield. Cole Palmer's in the pocket running with it for like 20, 30 yards. No one wants to shut him down. Finished, but it was dead from the keeper, though. He should have saved it. Got beaten at the near post pretty easy there.
Yeah, for
Nico real. Jackson's proving people wrong, though.
Six goals in 9 games in the Premier League.
Nicholas Jackson? He's in my fantasy team.
Is he back, man?
Is he there?
Are we starting to see him come over the hill?
No, because I'm giving him his respect. I'll put him on my team and they'll stop scoring, so no. But no, he's looking good. He's looking good. Looks like he's improved on a lot of facets. Seems a lot more just composed.
Yeah, for real.
Than compared to last season.
He's confident as well. I think Cara made a great point about him on Sky today. It was like, he's not afraid to miss, so he'll keep going.
That's a good trait.
All right, man, let's go to South London now. Palace 2 Spurs. Palace 1-0, man. Big win for Palace. First win of the season against a tough Spurs team as well.
Man said a tough Spurs team.
Well, it was a tough test on paper, I guess. So 1-0 win.
Mateta with the goal. Great flick from Eze. I don't know if you might saw the goal.
Yeah, fantastic flick. Naughty.
Yeah,
fantastic flick.
Naughty. Because the keys are
over. He should have got a pen. He should have got a pen as well.
Do you think Eze is going to be there next season?
At Palace?
Yeah.
Nah.
I think he needs to bounce, man.
He needs to move. I don't know where. I can't call it, but he needs to move.
Chelsea?
I'll think about it, tell you next week. Pause. I'll think about it, tell you next week. But yeah, he needs to make a move though.
Oh, Liverpool.
Does he fit in a Liverpool?
Where'd you take him though? Because he's going to Liverpool.
What, ahead of McAllister?
What, Arsenal? Eze at Arsenal?
Ooh.
Where does Eze go? Where does he go?
On the wing, bro. No?
No, I prefer him in the 10. Yeah, that's an Odegaard team. I prefer him in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Oh well, I think the team that he played today,
Spurs.
I think it takes the creative burden completely just off
Madison.
Like, if it's not Madison, there's someone else, because there's only two creative players that they have right now are Pedro Porro and James Madison. There's no one else in the team you can say can unlock a door or make something happen. So
that's actually a good shot.
And he can play 10 and he can play left on the left as well.
Question for you lot.
Spurs are frustrating though.
Right now, okay, not who would you take. Right now, who's better, Eze or Madison?
Ooh, great question.
Right now,
I think James Madison.
Yeah, I think Madison's playing well this season.
I think James Madison.
I'm going to say Eze.
Yeah, I can't lie. I'm Eze, you know. I'm team Eze still.
Oh, we're all split in a bench.
I do understand the Eze thing because his X factor is in his dribbling. I just think he doesn't stamp his authority enough in games sometimes.
Eze at United? What are we saying about that?
Oh, of course I'll take him. Yeah, 100%. Of course.
Some kids. They'll damage his career. No way, actually.
Don't do that. Spurs, man, up and down, man. Ange Postecoglou, I wanted to click for him, man, but I feel like this guy, bruv.
Me and Gaz were talking about Mikey Moore. We wanted to see something from Mikey Moore because he started today. He got his first start. I've been hearing some raving about that.
He's a good player, man. I seen
a little clip of him midweek. I said, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
In Europa League.
Namor.
Oh, my God. Say no more.
City versus Southampton, man. City win. The robot scores.
Scrapes through, man. I watched it.
Yeah.
Scrapes.
Good game?
No, they scraped through. I mean, Southampton played.
Bro, Pep and Bernardo Silva was giving them praise at the end of the game.
They stuck to their guns. Okay. Like, throughout the whole 90 minutes, they didn't ever deviate from their plan. They play through the thirds. If they have to go back to their keeper to go back through the thirds, they'll do it. Like, they'll take that risk. No, I wasn't trying to.
They'll take the risk.
And at a time,
go check out episode 128. No, I'm joking.
At times, they were able to actually like play through City's press, which is quite impressive. I just think they lack cutting edge, especially when they're facing a team like City at the Etihad, which is quite like a big pitch.
That's a daunting challenge.
I think they struggled in that regard. But yeah, they were quite impressive for parts. City. I think they lacked some creative spark in the team because they had a Kovacic, Foden, Nunes, Bernardo midfield, Nunes played out wide. And Nunes actually did quite well. He played out wide on the left. Yeah.
Set up the goal. Assist, though.
Yeah, except they got the assist. Should have got a second. He was taking on his man. But yeah, I just think they lacked a bit of creative spark. I think they missed someone like a Grealish or a Doku.
De Bruyne is not playing as well in that team.
Exactly. And I think Foden's become more of a finisher than a creative player that he was when he first burst through. Because if I remember Foden when he first came through, he was actually like and he was dribbling and he would take on. But I feel like his game's become a lot more receiving half space, open up slap.
So would you say he's maturing
in one sense, but then it's taken away aspects of his game which made him really exciting to watch when he was a bit younger. Yeah. Whether he can return that to that later on in his career, I don't know. But yeah, he's become a lot more like receive, boom, slap. And he's good at it because we saw last season he scored how many goals from that half space. But I think they just lacked some creativity yesterday. But yeah, City, still a good win, I guess.
Still a good win.
A win's a win.
A win's a win.
City train goes marching on, baby.
Just low key, look at their unbeaten run count. Just small.
Go and look at that, man.
They're not at 40 yet, but they're approaching 40.
Oh my days. Have a look at that small. Be wary, man.
Someone's got to beat them.
Yeah, for real.
Please.
I said please.
All right, man. Let's go back to West London. Brentford versus Ipswich. Game of the weekend, I'm saying. I'm calling it.
Yeah, that 100%. Was a, I kind of saw the highlights for that
game. We were so close.
I was A1.
You're always so close. It feels like Ipswich are always so close from that first victory and they get snatched from them.
Yeah.
2-0 up, though. To go 2-0 up, man, and lose 4-3. That's poor.
Why didn't Liam Delap start? He's warm.
I know, I think they're just, I think what the striker was doing was
the one that come on.
I honestly believe he was just.
To be fair, Jeff Hurst scored. The guy that scored,
that was a good goal as well. Yeah,
and he did get an assist. And big up my guy Chaplin because he played a hell of a part.
And the reversey, was talking about Charlie. Yeah,
left foot.
And you know what he said? He said to the other midfielder, he said, chill. And then played the ball. I was like, yes.
Yeah, kind of. Ipswich has got decent players, you know.
Yeah, we have, but we keep losing.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if you're going to stay up, but you've actually got some decent players.
We keep losing. I mean, bruv.
I might Google Chaplin, you know, because I said
he's
not.
He's played for Portsmouth
before. No, like his heritage, because he's not fully Anglo-Saxon. Fam. He's got something in there. Man.
There might be some Irish in there.
You understand? There's something in there, man.
Yeah, there's something in there. But obviously, let's talk about. We have to talk about Harry Clarke, man. Sorry, man.
Red pen.
Like damn.
Only second player ever in Premier League history to actually do that.
That was his first start as well, isn't it?
Yeah, first start.
That is the disaster class.
You're sent off, you score an own goal, and you give away a pen.
Titus Bramble would be proud.
Bad.
Stay out of Bloom Lounge, mate. I tell you, mate. I see you buying all the bottles, fam. Get back on the training pitch, fella. Legend, though, can't lie. Ips, man, do you think we're staying up, lads?
Nah,
man.
I don't know if we have enough
quality
I think you guys
are like... Stay up. You've shown you can score goals.
And we've shown we can compete as well. And I think one thing that Kieran McKenna said after the game was, it was like, it felt like us. It was a bit of identity because we didn't just fall off and we did come back and score the late goal. But is that going to be enough to get us over the edge?
The solidity is...
So many mistakes, bro. Yeah. And even the goal that we could
see. Oh, that goal, bro.
It is Sunday League, bro. It comes from like, what's it? Bad communication, isn't it? Centre-back, are you going to go?
By
the time you make a decision,
you're at an elite level.
I think McKenna's shown he can coach at this level.
I think he's showed that he can adapt, in it.
I think you're just restricted by the players that you have available to you, which is no disrespect to them. Some of them are coming from League One.
See Kompany and Burnley last year.
Yeah, for real. I do see. Maybe that.
He's a lot more. Not pragmatic, but he's willing to like bend his principles to what's needed.
Mm.
So like Jeff Hurst is more of a like target man. He's not like a link up man per se.
Yeah.
But if his teams want to play, he'll play. But he's also willing to be a bit more like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, for
Whereas
real.
Southampton, Russell Martin said, no, we're going to play and play. Mm. So I think McKenna's got a bright future.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, he definitely has, man. All right, man. Let's go into the last few games before we talk about some Ballon d'Or. Brighton versus Wolves. That guy on fire. 6 goals in 9 games, man, for Danny Welbs.
He's in his best.
Like Wayne, man.
That guy. Yeah.
He does the Drogba celebration. Big him up, man. Brighton must be disappointed, though, because they were 2-0 up as well, and then they went through and they conceded. And
Brighton got some aspirations this year, so that's definitely 2 points dropped for them.
That is 2 points dropped for them.
And no European football.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, man. Big up
Gary O'Neill, man. Wolves, yeah.
I don't know how they're so low in the table, man.
Look at their games, bro. Look who they've played.
Yeah, with the peak, all the big boys,
bro. It's peak.
They played Arsenal?
They played the first game of the season, I think. Yeah.
Chelsea,
City,
Dark.
Like, they've been through it, bro.
Yeah, Brentford away as well. That's always a tricky one.
Hopefully, should start picking up some points now. Man.
Villa, they played Villa as well.
Yeah,
they got some good players, man. Matheus Cunha's war.
I like him, man.
Bro,
he's a great player.
Cunha. He reminds me of Dembele, man. I know, I think I said this before, but he reminds me of Dembele.
So I really like him as well. Give me Aitnor as well. Thank you very much.
I'll take him.
Aitnor, thank you very much. You know what's mad, though? The one thing about this game before we move on, you see that at the end, they had that 4-on-1 Brighton. And then the guy messed up the pass.
That was frantic, bro.
Yeah. What?
That was frantic.
4-on-1.
4-on-1.
Bro, there's a 4-on-1.
The guy messed
one.
Up the pass. They went up the other end of the squad. Oh, football, I love this
20v1.
I love this.
It was
game.
Peak, bro.
I can't lie. That's headless.
Yeah, it was scenes, bro. It was scenes.
Man, then Villa versus Bournemouth. 1-1 here. Villa will be a little bit upset that they didn't win this game.
Love that.
Yeah, for real. A little bit of controversy. Similar to the Arsenal game back in the day. Not even back in the day. Maybe a year or two ago. Against Newcastle. Where the ball was out, was it in, was it out? Ooh, and then Gary Neville does. If you look at the camera from here, it doesn't look in. But that's what VAR has to challenge. Because obviously it's above, isn't it?
You man, practice. Yo, nah, listen. Two on point.
We got this.
We have to challenge.
Me and Bob, we got this.
You might need to get into your voiceover back still.
But look.
Tough.
If it's Arsenal, that's in. But anybody else, it's out. Also, Arsenal scored a goal. The third one is a goal, fam.
What do you mean?
Jesus
is one where Kivior won the header.
Oh, yeah.
And then that got flicked on.
Yeah.
Shabozla didn't jump for the ball. Kivior jumped.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen,
bro.
And Anthony Taylor wanted to give a foul like 3 seconds after that.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. Nah, man. Bro, he said he blew it way before.
Nah, he didn't blow
it
way
before. He did.
Yeah, I bet he did. I bet he did.
All right, man. So let's go back to this week's Jones. Nah, the guy that equalised the goal, Evan Nilsson, you take him out of the fantasy team?
I took him out of the fantasy team and look.
He scores a goal.
But nah, he's going to be good for Bournemouth. He's going to get a couple goals.
Yeah,
he's got that European experience. He played with Porto. We seen him in the Champions League last year. Decent looking striker, man. It'd be a good replacement for Solanke when he starts to finally get comfortable. And yeah, he scored a couple goals for them. He's looking like he's getting a bit more settled in, man. So Bournemouth have got something. Yeah. They got a good, front three.
Couple players.
Clivert when he comes on as well. Obviously Semenyo's there.
Semenyo baller.
Yeah, man.
Big up the
non-league as well to Prem.
Shout out the Gaffer, man.
Swear.
And shout out to the Gaffer as well. Iraola, good coach, man.
Good Everton coach. Versus Fulham. Arsenal B play some nice football, man.
Arsenal B.
For real.
Word. Man said Leno, Reece Nelson, Iwobi, and Smith Rowe.
Oh, what a
I'm not gonna lie. I like Fulham, you know.
It's us a couple years ago, fam.
I like Fulham. I feel like
once upon a time you were probably linked to Traoré as well. So it probably makes sense. But yeah.
Bear, how many Arsenal and Fulham players could you name? Ooh, like players that play for both teams.
Can I name a random one?
Luis Saha?
Did he play for Arsenal?
No. I think he might have started at Arsenal.
Is it? Or like academy or something?
Junichi Inamoto?
Good shit. Right, yeah.
It's a good one from you.
That's
a really good one.
Yeah. You know that, eh? He fought back on Tuesday still.
Yeah, true.
Trust me. He never fought back on Tuesday. So yeah, I'm going to slap these men with this one on Sunday.
Senderos.
Felipe. Not Philip, Felipe.
Trust me, Felipe.
Arsenal in the 0-2 kit. Oh, God.
Jesus. Hey. Great goal, though. ESR with the run. Shows what he can do, you know what I mean? Shows what he's got a bit about him.
He said he's got aspirations to play for England.
Has he?
ESR?
Nah, I would like that. I'd like to see that. I didn't want him.
Why haven't got so many players in that position? It's mad.
It's true.
We need to make them
the queue.
Back,
the queue's a bit mad.
Further back.
Give me a couple tidy little DMs in there.
Give me further back. Do you know what I'm saying? A couple eights. Do you know what I mean? Fulham should have put the game to bed, but then, bro, this is actually so funny. Me and Charles turned the game off when Beto came on. He scores the equaliser.
It was a bit emotional in his first matches, wasn't it?
Might have been booing him. And
the first time that me and Bob seen him, we was in the Hendon pub, which is now no longer in existence.
Oh, you seen? Oh, in the flesh.
We was in a pub. We watched him. We watched that Beto you come on. We said, nah, this guy stinks. So this is us. That's a Liverpool and an Arsenal fan going, yo, this guy stinks. I can imagine the stick that the Everton fans are giving him, especially given the position that they're in. Like, he's not even anyone that can come on and do anything better than Calvert-Lewin, who also stinks.
His
career's bro.
He's been getting a lot of stick. 20. He scores that goal. Finally, he does something really positive for Everton and gets them a point and wins them something. Well, not wins them something, but salvages something for them. He's crying, bro. He's breaking down.
He was crying.
Bro, he cried. Well, no, he wasn't like crying, but like he really broke down like in the post-match interview.
He had his face in the shirt thing.
Yeah, he was going through it. Yeah, he's going through it.
He should do what Brendan Johnson does and turn off his social media and then he'll be warm again. Have you noticed that since Brendan Johnson turned his thing back on, no goals, no nothing?
Firm. What does that say, eh? What does that say?
No social media.
Get in the gym, mate. Everton, man, bro, they're going to have a tough ride. I don't know what Sean Dyche is doing. I don't know how long they're going to tolerate this, we might be relegated every season thing. I don't think they're
going to. Yeah, come on,
especially with the new stadium coming.
It's a big club, man. Everton's a big club.
Especially with the new stadium coming as well.
And let's finish off with Leicester versus Forest. This is Wood, future Barclays man.
Pause.
Chris Wood, future Barclays man.
There you go.
And Jamie Vardy is obviously the Barclays man. Forest are looking good this season.
Forest are actually good.
I wanted them to go down because I wanted them to take Ipswich to take their spot, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Who's the gaffer? Portuguese,
you know. Santos.
Portuguese.
He's got them looking good.
Is he
good,
black?
Man.
That's the question. Is he black or is he tanned?
He's tanned, bro.
So if we go,
is he?
I don't know.
See, I don't know about Portuguese, but I know that the Spanish. Like back 100 years ago, they were Moors and that, so they used to be black. Ooh. So you might have something in the heritage, you might have something in the bloodline there.
Forest fans, if you're listening, get in touch. All right, guys, well, that is the weekly roundup done and dusted.
Forest are good though. Shout out Elliot Anderson, man.
Yeah, they are good. They've got some great players in there.
Hudson Odoi.
Caltech's got his own. He's got his own song out there now. They love him.
Has he?
They love Hudson Odoi. Yeah,
man. Big up that man. Shout out that Langer too. But all right, guys, we're gonna talk some Ballon d'Or before we go. We'll keep it quick and snappy, but make sure you stick around for the second half. Let's go, baby!
Benched, a 14-ish Q original. New episodes available every Monday on wherever you stream your podcasts, as well as exclusive content throughout the week.
All right, guys, welcome back to the second half of the Bench Podcast.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year, man. I can't do like a fancy, what's it called? Like a ceremony music.
And that would be dope, though, if you could do that edit.
I might have to put it in the edit. But it's the Ballon d'Ors, man. It's that time. Football's most prestigious award. Mm. The Golden Ball, the one that everyone wants to win. The Ballon d'Or is around the corner. It is here, man. And we are here to discuss it, guys. Before we get into some bit of a fantasy topic, we're going to discuss who Messi and Ronaldo kind of stole the Ballon d'Or from, or they blocked the Ballon d'Or from.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about this year's Ballon d'Or, man. The three front runners are as follows. Two from Real Madrid. One is Mr. England himself, Jude Bellingham. The other is Mr. Brasil, Vinicius Jr. And the other one plays for Manchester City, and he is a European Cup winner. His name is Rodri, man. Looking like word on the corner, word on road, is that Vinny Jr. is going to pick this one up. First and foremost, guys, do we agree? Vinny Jr. for the Ballon d'Or?
I'm not mad at it.
I think he should win, but I could slightly see Rodri. I could see Rodri taking it, you know.
Yeah.
Taking it.
But realistically, Vinny, for me, I think Vinny should win.
Yeah? What about you, Charles?
I'm literally in agreement with him. I feel like Vinny's probably going to be the one that takes it, but I could make a case for Rodri.
Yeah, I could see Rodri stealing it, man.
Just being the most...
influential player, I guess.
Just the most necessary player for Manchester City in the last year.
Most necessary player. Yeah.
Probably being the best DM in the world.
And there's no one close to him.
Yeah.
Near the level. Of all facets of the game, he's pretty much locked in. Goals, boom. Interceptions, boom.
Clutch goals as well. Breaking the lines,
boom. Can bop it about, boom. First touch, boom. Tech, boom.
Obviously.
You got a little jink in there, ball carry.
He has.
They're like, what's the weakness in his game? I don't know, maybe he's not like the quickest, you could argue.
Mobility, maybe.
And maybe the ACL might be a bit of a problem when he comes back.
But God willing.
As it stands.
No, I said what I said. So
the standard of business.
Obviously, he's won the Premier League with Manchester City, and he's won the Euros with Spain. Yeah, you know, it could be a
Rodri thing.
The same way that Messi, you know, grabbed the Ballon d'Or after he'd won that World Cup when it was kind of him and Haaland.
Yeah.
The same way that Modric in 2018, when he didn't win the World Cup, but like he was very influential and he was the player of the tournament in getting Croatia to the final alongside winning, I think, maybe the league and the Champions League with Real Madrid that year.
Yeah.
Those
it changes, isn't it? Every year, the dynamics of how they pick it changes, man.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, you could look at Jude, and Jude was the top scorer for Real Madrid. He was player of the season.
Yep.
In La Liga, he won the league. La Liga with them. He made the crucial interception and assist for Vinny to score in the Champions League final. He's won with them. He got to the final of the Euros with England. You understand? And for me, like with your country, the success that you get or like how well you do, I think plays a big part in how you should be seeded when it comes to Ballon d'Or. Vinny didn't really pull up any trees with Brazil in the Copa America. So, you know, aside from him being the electric one, and yeah, maybe he should be the one that gets it, I could also make a case, like you said, for Rodri and maybe Bellingham. But I think Bellingham will probably come third.
Bellingham's got a shout, I think.
I think
winning.
Not to win it.
No. I think Bellingham will come
third. He's done a lot, man.
He has.
And he scored some mad goals in the Euros as well.
At one point.
Kick. Yeah, for
real.
I did have him first at one point. But I think maybe he might take...
He's got a hell of a story.
He might take second or third. I feel like either him or... For me, either him or Vinny are going to take second and third between them, and I think I would give it to Rodri.
You would give it to Rodri?
I think I would.
Ooh.
When's this? Monday?
It's tomorrow, yeah. Well,
by the time this is out,
it's right
Ballon d'Or,
now.
Ballon d'Or will be out.
Yeah,
man.
So we've got to get some clever answers to be like, okay, cool. Here's what happens if Rodri wins. Here's what happens if
I was thinking when I came in.
So we've got to give him all the angles.
Yeah, Vinny deserves it, man. Vinny deserves it, man. You know, he's a very good player.
So happy he won.
He's got a hat trick, you know.
And you know what? Bellingham, man. You know what?
Yeah. Big up Bellas, man. Well, look, all right, let's look at the two Real Madrid boys first and foremost here, because I'm going to do a straight comparison, man. Jude Bellingham last season in the league got 19 goals and 28 appearances, 6 assists. In the Champions League, 11 appearances, 4 goals, 5 assists.
And if you go over to Mr. Vinicius Jr., in the Champions League last season, 10 appearances, 6 goals, 5 assists, including that one in the final. And in the league, 15 goals and 6 assists.
Clear something up for me, please, people.
Go on.
See Bellingham last year. Mm-hmm. Was he the tip of a midfield diamond or was he a false nine?
Ooh, great question.
Because everybody's saying false nine, false nine, false
nine. Called the transfer marked, he's an AM.
I thought he was the tip of a midfield diamond. I didn't know he was a nine. I didn't know he was a false nine. Or is that just narrative?
19 goals in a debut season, by the way.
Is that just narrative that people are putting out?
Probably narrative.
System, I think it's dependent on what system Madrid were using. Because I know Vinny was playing like a left forward.
Mm.
But then Ancelotti said they gave the front two or three like license to like
roam around,
and play where they saw fit, rather than having a structured thing per se.
So maybe it's like obviously, you know, there was a lot of comparison, a lot of people were saying stuff about Jude and Zidane. Mm-hmm. But I don't really subscribe to that either. I don't think he's Zidane's something different, but the way that Ancelotti was using him, wasn't it more like a Kaká thing at Milan, where Kaká's like the tip of a diamond, and then you've got the two strikers. Yeah.
He's familiar with that system.
So you had Vinny and Rodri, and I thought my man was just trailing, you know.
Mm.
But I don't know. People might call that false nine, or they might call it tip of a diamond. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, man. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I guess because when you look at a season that Jude Bellingham had, because I'm just looking at it now, that means he got, well, like I said, 19 goals at opening season. 4 goals in Champions League, 5 assists.
Class.
Got 2 goals in Euros, 2 big goals in Euros.
Overhead kick.
And he also got the assist for Cole Palmer in the final.
Oh, the overhead kick. I've just relived it in my head. The overhead kick was mad.
That was scenes, bro.
That's outrageous. That was scenes. He scored unnecessary. The 86th minute against Serbia.
You don't need to be 6'5 and doing that.
Yes. Yeah,
so. Unnecessary. Are you Crouch?
I know he's probably not going to win it, yeah? He's probably not going to walk away with it. But is it almost like his PR's been too good?
Yeah,
he's been PR'd out of it almost. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people are more annoyed.
He might steal it, you know?
Fam.
He could even steal it.
He's 20 years old.
Like the online sentiment around him has changed. I think people do find him a bit irritable now.
Yeah.
Due to the whole PR thing.
Mm. I think he's PR'd his way out of the Ballon d'Or, you know?
You think
because,
so?
Because, bruv, 19 goals, a Champions League, a league, he played in the final of the Euros.
The thing is, though, none of that has got anything to do with PR because he did that shit.
But I feel like,
do you know what I mean?
People don't like him all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's true, though.
I don't get it.
I mean, look.
The thing is more speaking to, like, the way he's been positioned and the way he carries
the way he's
himself.
Been positioned. True. Yeah.
But, like, the way he talks, the things he does on the pitch, like.
Who else?
But there was a thing where he tried to cajole, he did something with Harry Kane where he was, like, small boy in him in a sense. And, like,
oh, where he covered the acceleration thing. Is that,
no,
they've done that.
It was like during the Euros that you're trying to pick up Harry Kane, like to lift him up and like to.
Oh, I
him,
see that. Like, yeah, I think yeah, I see that. I see that. I see that.
Didn't buy into.
They're like, yo, like, what you? Yeah.
Jealous, man.
They think it's all fake and that.
Yeah,
he's the guy, man.
Yeah. They think it's fake, so they think he's doing a persona thing.
Yeah, he's a what? Because and then what? Start of the season. Hi guys, I have a YouTube channel of my whole season documented last season.
Oh yeah,
thing that raises the question. The thing is,
when you see and the good thing about social media is that you know you can see like through like the teams like especially in the England camp you can see like on their Instagram profiles on their TikTok or like you can see like little clips of how the players actually are when they're around each other.
Yeah.
Mm. Very, very much got a competitive alpha type of personality.
Yeah,
very,
does.
Very much yeah. how he actually is like. You understand?
Yeah.
I see a lot of stuff with him and Trent. Them two are super competitive.
Yeah.
Them two will argue about. Them two will argue about arguing.
Get a room. Get a room. He's not coming to us, Trent. All
right.
He went to Madrid. Home. But all right, then, man. Let's talk about the other candidate. We've talked about Rodri. We've talked about Benos. Vinny Junior. Is he the best player in the world? Then. I think he's the
best winger in the world.
Is he the best player in the world though? Because that's what the Ballon d'Or says. Apparently,
for real.
That's what it says on the tin. You get that golden ball. First Brazilian winner since Kaká, by the way.
Whoa.
If he's to win it.
I would like him to win it because of all the racist abuse that he gets in.
Spain. It would be a big...
I would like that. Yeah. I would like that narrative. That would
be a big statement.
That's a big trophy. Like, here you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Here you go, guys.
It's just sad. If he, like, when he wins it off the back of a drumming from Barcelona, it's not going to look great, but is he the best player in the world, man? That's the question I'm asking because this is what this trophy... It states that you are the best player in the world. I know some of them have been a bit fugazi, a little bit like,
fugazi,
for real. But I feel like now that we're past the Messi-Ronaldo era, the peak of it anyway, now the trophy's actually got to go to the best player in the world. And we're about to deem that as Vinicius Junior.
I mean, he's
he's electric, man. For me, he's one of my favourite players to watch. 100%. Yeah.
Probably because of the position that he's in. Yeah. If it's someone who's like a striker or like a winger,
yeah,
and they're really electric like that, they're probably more likely to get these kind of Ballon d'Ors and these kind of things as opposed to like a centre mid,
yeah,
like Rodri, or a centre mid like Bellingham, let's say. I think just because you're in a bit more of an exciting position or a bit more of like a decisive position when it comes to games, like you can really... you're more likely as a winger or a striker to really decide games.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Do you understand? Yeah.
100%, 100%. Well, man, when he walks away...
So, yeah, get that, but I don't know if he's the best player in the world.
Is he the best player in his team?
That's another one, man.
Yeah, that's another...
Yeah, I think he is.
Best player in his team.
Is he better than Mbappe?
I'm giving it to him, man. I love Vinny, bro. I think he's cold. Although he missed that chance, that's jarring. Is he better than Mbappe?
Obviously, Mbappe,
I think right now he might be.
Obviously, Mbappe's not doing the team, but
don't watch
Mbappe's...
the form. Don't watch the mood that he's in right now.
That World Cup.
Yeah, true. The boy wonder and all that.
Damn. Yo, if he has scored that goal, oh my Lord.
He is cold. But all right, guys. No one's asked me, though.
Oh, what?
Is he better than Mbappe?
I don't know, man.
It's tough still. You say plead the fifth.
Exercise the Fifth Amendment.
Charles, where you going?
I'm gonna go with Vinny. Fuck it. I prefer him.
I have to go Killian then.
Killy.
It's yeah.
Been a best celebration. Though.
Listen, one day heads, one day tails, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Because I love both of them,
bro.
But all right, guys, that is the Ballon d'Or.
Whoa.
Oh, you're doing that. Oh,
freaky,
doing
ass, that. Freaky ass nigga. He a 69 guy. Hey, Romeo, lad.
Okay, you got one, have you? You got me, have you? A wife for that, is it?
Is that what they say? Is that what they say?
What the Jamaicans say, is it, bloody? Is that
what they say? Fire bun, is it?
Lava splash. Oh, fucking hell, lad. All right, lads, what we're going to do, though, for a bit of fun. Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, obviously, they dominated the Ballon d'Ors over the
them
last
two are
10
greedy.
Years.
How many? 15
greedy.
Years.
Here we're going to do from 2008, Cristiano Ronaldo won his first Ballon d'Or. Then it went Messi, 2010. Messi, 2011. Messi, 2012. Fuck, Cristiano Ronaldo, crazy. 2013. Cristiano Ronaldo, 2014. Messi, 2015. Ronaldo, 2016.
What is that?
Ronaldo, 2017. Luka Modric, 2018.
Come on.
Then Messi, they said, all right, chill. And then ready, Messi went, nah, mine. 2019, Messi. 2021, Messi. And then Karim Benzema, 2022. And then for some reason,
big up my
in 2023, Messi. After he wins the World Cup.
Messi. How many times has Messi won it?
Messi. I think seven, I believe. Eight Ballon d'Ors.
How many is Ronaldo? Five, isn't it?
Ronaldo's five, yeah. Messi's so there were
13 between them.
Messi. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these quick, lads. I'm going to go through the nominees and we're going to give the Ballon d'Ors to someone else from that class. All right, so 2008, let's do it. Let me see if this works.
Messi.
All right, cool. Here are the top 10.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, but it's true, though, yeah.
Here are the top 10 outside. You can't select Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi. Here are the top 10. 2008, Fernando Torres, Casillas, Xavi, Arshavin, David Villa, Ibrahimovic, Kaká, Gerrard.
No,
who
no,
were given
no,
the Ballon d'Or
no,
to in 2008?
Arshavin was there.
Arshavin was sixth.
Oh, the Euros, that's he was crazy. Warm. They got to the semi-final, Russia.
Who crazy. Are we giving it to, man? And that was in order. So third was Torres, fourth was Casillas, fifth was Xavi, sixth Arshavin, seventh David Villa, eighth Ibrahimovic, ninth Kaká, tenth Gerrard.
I don't mind giving it Torres that year.
Ibra,
you know?
I don't mind giving it to Ibra.
He was cold.
I'm an Ibra fan. I'll give it Ibra still.
I think Torres might have been best striker in the world that time.
Yeah, I'm giving it Torres, man. Because he played...
He's moving a bit mad.
Was that Liverpool's peak season with Benitez?
Yes.
It was around
one
that.
Before that.
It was around that.
But there was his first season in England where he cooked.
When he scored in his debut against Chelsea. Anfield.
Yeah, he cooked.
Yeah, fuck it.
Torres? You're going Ibra?
Ibra,
man. You're Ibra fan, though. So give it. All right, cool. Let's go. 2009. Here's the top 10 outside of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Xavi is 3. Iniesta is 4. Eto'o, 5. Kaká, 6. 7 is Zlatan, 8 is Rooney, 9 is Drogba, 10 is Gerrard again. Like, Gerrard's the best midfielder ever in the Prem, man. Come on.
I was thinking Xavi.
Is that the one
with Iniesta
and Xavi? That was the
Chelsea against
the Rome Chelsea, the Rome final.
Yeah.
United Barcelona.
Iniesta, yeah. Over Xavi?
Yeah.
Oof, Xavi finished higher. Xavi. Sorry, my nigga. Hey, it had to be you. 2010, let's go. Top 10 looks like this.
Three is, oh, see, this is different. Cristiano Ronaldo is sixth in this one. So Andres Iniesta finishes second. Xavi is third. Snyder is fourth. Forlan is fifth. Ronaldo is sixth. Casillas is seventh. Villa is eighth. Drogba is ninth. Xabi Alonso is 10th. Who are we giving the Ballon d'Or?
Was that the one that Inter Milan won?
That's the one that Inter Milan won.
That was the same year that was that the year that Forlan won the Golden Boot in the World Cup?
I believe so. Yeah.
Forlan was moving.
He finished
warm,
fifth though. In these Ballon d'Ors.
Forlan was moving warm. That's a Jabulani ball, isn't it?
The Shabalala.
Yeah.
Goal for
Bavada.
Goal for all of America.
I give it Schneider.
Let's give it Wes.
Yeah, Schneider. I'm going for Schneider.
All right, 2011. Cool. Here we go. Bloody hell, we've got a lot of years to go, lads. So strap yourselves in. Number three is Xavi. Number four, Iniesta.
That's like your bleep.
Let's experience some turbulence.
Fifth, Wayne Rooney. Sixth, Luis Suarez. Seventh, Diego Forlan. Eighth, Samuel Eto'o. Ninth, Casillas. Tenth, Neymar. Who are we giving the Ballon d'Or to?
Bloody hell, what was going on that year?
Who was there?
That was 2011.
Oh, that must have been Santos when...
He finished 10th in the Ballon d'Or when he was at Santos.
That's class.
That's crazy. That's mad.
No, in that year he won Puskas. Was that you on Puskas?
Potentially, yeah. Probably, that goal was crazy, by the way. I might give it to Neymar just for that.
Who won that?
2011 Ballon d'Or, Neymar. Congratulations.
Neymar.
Yeah, I'm giving it Neymar, man. Sorry, I'm deciding that one, man. He played for Santos.
He played for Santos.
Big up Rooney, though. He's been in the top 10 twice in the last few years.
I'm normal, man.
Big up him, yeah. Big up Rooney before the transplant.
Yeah,
Rooney,
man.
Let's go to 2012. 2012 was Messi, Ronaldo, and then after that was Iniesta, Xavi, Falcao enters the fray. Casillas, Pirlo 7th, Drogba, Van Persie 9th, Zlatan Ibrahimovic 10th.
Casillas
deserves one, doesn't he? He's been here bears, bro.
Nah, that was the Wembley final, innit? Where Villa scored, Villa put one top
2012,
corner.
2012, no, that was the one before. So 2012 would have been, Chelsea. Champions League.
I was at Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, damn.
So that's probably why Drogba's
yeah, Drogba. Eighth. Yeah, Drogba.
We're giving it a Drogba, yeah?
Drogba.
Give it a Drogba end of the season.
Drogba.
No. Clutch.
No.
Fireball. Well, there's Van Persie in there.
Van P. What, 30 goals for Arsenal? Yeah, Van Persie.
Iniesta was third. Iniesta. All right, let's go to 2013.
Yeah, Ribery next.
Gaz is 2 minutes away from sleeping.
Right? Yeah,
fam.
Gaz don't give a fuck.
2 minutes. I can't give it to Drogba, though.
All right, 2013.
Ribery next.
Okay,
next.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Big man team. Ribery got robbed that year. That's my guy as well.
All right, 2014. All right, let's go. Number three. Guess who finished three? Manuel Neuer. Then Iron Robin, number four. Thomas Müller, number five. Philip Lahm, number six. Neymar.
I think it's not, isn't it?
Number seven. James Rodriguez, number eight.
Oh, Tottenham Kroos, that World Cup team.
Yeah. Number nine. Angel Di Maria.
I can't give it to
Can't give it to goalkeeper?
No, I can give it to Neuer.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying Neuer still.
Iron Robs.
Iron Robin, yeah. Well, what about Neuer, bro? We're going to break mold. Yeah, give it to a keeper.
Yeah, man, you know it, man.
Man United. Actually, you know what? Yeah, Robin's not a bad shout because Bayern won the Champions League that year, innit?
Was it 2014? No, they won.
No. That was the one before. That was Ribery. Yeah.
14. Who won in 14? Lads? Real Madrid. La Decima.
Was it Decima?
It was, yeah.
I hated that team, man.
Okay, give it Neuer. Yeah. Actually, give it Di Maria. Warm in the final, man of the match.
Yeah, true. All right, I'm giving it James Rodriguez just for that goal in the World Cup. Oh my god,
was it a chest volley?
Yeah, oh my god.
Oh yeah,
what a goal. 2015.
You're trying to give it to
goalkeepers, MSN.
Man.
Nah, I'm not giving that for that, man.
Fair enough.
I'm joking. okay. This one goes to Neymar. I finished third in this one, and this is the year he won the Champions League with Barcelona.
Yeah Neymar. Man.
But after that was Lewandowski, then Suarez, then Müller, Neuer again in the top 10, and then Hazard enters the top 10 this year. Eighth, Iniesta. Ninth. Alexis Sanchez finishes 10th with Arsenal for a Ballon d'Or.
He
was good, man, wasn't
he? Cooking.
He was good.
He's the best player in the Prem that year.
2016, Cristiano Ronaldo wins the Ballon d'Or because he won the Euros. Number three, Antoine Griezmann. Suarez, Greece. 4. Neymar, 5. Gareth Bale, 6. Riyad Mahrez enters the top 10 at 7. Jamie Vardy enters the top 10 for a Ballon d'Or. In 2016, Juan Luigi Buffon and Pepe both finished ninth.
Hey, Jamie Vardy, your career.
Jamie Vardy gets the Ballon d'Or for 2016.
Bravo, yeah, I can't let you. Jamie Vardy, bravo.
He does deserve it.
I was going to say Griezmann, but let's do Vardy.
Yeah, now we have to give it Vardy, man.
Bro, his football career.
He'll present it with a fucking Red Bull.
Yeah, documentary, bro. They need to.
All the snus.
What a guy. the Tesco meal deal, everything.
Yeah, everything. The ham sandwich. Definitely a ham sandwich.
They just show everything.
Yeah, he's so boring, but he's so British. All right, 2017, Cristiano Ronaldo wins again, but in third place, Neymar, then Buffon, then Modric, Buffon, then Ramos. Then Kylian Mbappe enters the fray with
Juve
Monaco.
Go to the final Champions League.
N'Golo Kante finishes 8th. Robert Lewandowski finishes 9th. Harry Kane finishes 10th.
It might be a Kante thing, you know.
Kante, what, for 2017? Yeah,
I don't mind it. I don't mind.
2017.
When he won with Chelsea or Leicester?
Leicester.
Been just after he won with Leicester.
Just after Leicester. Yeah, Chelsea. Yeah. With Chelsea. And then Kante. They won the league that year. Yeah, Kante. Kante. Safe.
Kante gets a Ballon d'Or.
Covering every blade of grass.
Cool. Let's do it. 2018, Luka Modric wins. Well done, you defeated the curse. And then back to regular schedule program because Messi won it the next year. But second was... I've decided this one. Virgil van Dijk wins this one.
Yeah, 100.
Thanks, guys.
All right, yeah.
Virgil van Dijk. And then Cristiano Romero. We were so good, man. Look at this. Sadio Mane was 4th. Mo Salah was 5th.
Damn.
Alisson was 7th, man.
Class.
Wow.
Might give him Mane, you know.
Mbappe was 6th. Lewandowski was 8th. Bernardo Silva was 9th. And Mahrez was 10th.
I'm giving that Mane.
Wow.
I'm giving that Mane, man.
See, did you guys have this last year?
Was that the year that they won?
The Champions League.
That Senegal won AFCON?
No, that was 2022, I believe.
Hmm. Well, what year are we on? 2020?
2019.
Oh.
Oh, 19?
2019.
Who won Champions League? Was that you, man? No, that was them, man. Was that you, man?
Yeah.
It was
us. They're not like us.
It's us.
Shut down.
It's us, man. Hey.
Mane.
Yeah, Mane.
I hear
say
it.
Less,
I hear
say
it.
Less.
Virgil van Dijk.
You say two hands now.
Yeah. All right, listen, we're giving that to him, man. Bruv, we were so good, man. Bloody hell, bruv. I think we take for granted how good we were, you know. That's
bro,
actually,
I can't lie. 2020, Liverpool were frightening.
We were frightening. 2020, there was no Ballon d'Or. Probably would have got it.
COVID. Anyway.
No, Lewandowski was meant to win that one.
Yeah, he was. And in 2021, he got shaked. So we'll give 2021 to Robert Lewandowski, right?
Yeah, man.
Because he was a rightful. Even Messi said, look, he should have had that one. That was a rightful. All right, man, let's wrap this up. 2022. Oh, no, and that is not the last one of the 2022 because of Karim Benzema, so he's broke the mold. And in 2023... is awarded to to Lionel Messi, probably because he won the World Cup, let's be honest. Mm. But Erling Haaland was up for it that year. Kylian Mbappe, Kevin De Bruyne, Rodri, Vinicius Jr., Julian Alvarez finished 7th. Victor Osimhen finishes 8th.
High class.
Bernardo Silva finishes 9th.
Them Africans must have been voting.
Luka Modric finishes 10th.
The African committee must have been voting heavily.
bare brown envelopes.
I'm giving it to Mbappe because I could never give a Ballon d'Or to Haaland.
Really?
Allow it.
What? Swear.
Lowry.
Scores the goals though, man.
Nah, man.
He's the man with the plan.
Killy, I said Haaland still.
Killy.
Erling, yeah?
Yeah, man.
You think he deserves it over Killy?
Yeah. Killy.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm going to give it to Osimhen, man. We got my guy.
Yeah, live. Niger.
Niger boy. All right, guys. Well, we're running out of time. We'll go through this one maybe another time. Maybe the end of the season because we'll add a Barclays man into the to this season. We're going to do the Ballon d'Or Barclays man.
Ballon d'Or Barclays man?
Yeah. But let's keep that. Let's keep that tucked for when the Barclaysman team comes back.
It's past Gaz's bedtime, innit?
Yeah. Some niggas going back to South, this guy's going back to Essex, you know what I mean? Right? Yeah, we've put in a hell of a shift this week, guys, and I appreciate it, man. Guys, one last thing. Who's the Ballon d'Or going to?
Vinny
Jr.
Rodrigo wins Ballon d'Or.
Rodri.
I said I'm tired.
His name. Vinny Jr., congratulations on your Ballon d'Or, man. Make sure you get the banana and you throw it at the crowd the next game.
I was going to say, where was that going, bro?
Oh, my guy, man. Fuck them, crazy. Man.
Get the banana.
Can you imagine? Hey, do you
imagine? 69, guy. 69, guy. All right, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bench Podcast, man. If you're listening on any DSP, make sure you like, share, subscribe. Give us a download, man. We really do appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like, share, subscribe. Guys, we will be here same place, same time next week, baby. Let's go!
Benched, a 14-HQ original. New episodes available every Monday on wherever you stream your podcasts, as well as exclusive content throughout the week.